Numbers chapter 13 is the source of our study today. We're going to answer the question of how do we follow God? We talk about following God and wanting to follow God. And I believe that most are sincere about following God. However, sometimes we don't know how. So that's what we're going to talk about today. In continuation of a biblical worldview, if you don't have a biblical worldview, you're going to have to know how to follow God. Does that make sense? All right, Numbers chapter 13, will you stand with me as we read the first three verses and keep your place in Numbers 13 because about midpoint in the service, we're going to come back and read some more, okay? Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give the sons of Israel. You shall send everyone a leader among you." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you asking for your guidance as we look into your word. Lord, teach us your ways. Open our hearts, our minds to receive, that we may grow in you, that we may do what you would lead us to do. Lord, help us to understand how to follow you every day that we live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to understand today as I preach this message, I'm preaching it from the viewpoint that it is a very appropriate time in where the church is right now. It's a very pointed message, right? Where the church is right now, we need God's guidance. We need to know what God has. Right now the church is on the edge of some very major moves in the coming months and years. And so I want you to understand this is pointed, but it's not pointed from the point of view that somebody said something they shouldn't have said or somebody said something wrong. It's not even because somebody said something right. This message is 100% how do we as a church follow God? Okay? And not just as a church, but it also applies to individual. Each individual believer has to know how to follow God, right? And so that's the purpose of this message today. And the first thing you have to understand about following God is that you must first hear from God. Make sense? You have to hear from God. How can you hear from God? Well, I'm glad you asked. In verse 1, it says there, "The Lord spoke to Moses." Let's stop right there. The Lord spoke to Moses. Now, when we're talking from a church point of view, the thing you have to understand is there has to be a Moses. It starts with church leadership, right? God usually introduces directions and things first in the church leadership. Just like he did with Moses. So for every group, there has to be such a leader. A Moses, if you will. You know, if you're a Bible study teacher on Sunday mornings, understand you've kind of got that role of Moses if you're leading those people, if you're teaching those people. If you're a youth leader, Josh. There he is. Josh, you're a Moses. Doesn't that make you feel good? He doesn't look real excited. Kelly, college man, is a Moses. Michael, our associate pastor, is a Moses. Ken, where's old Ken? There he is. He's a Moses. Now, understand, I'm not saying that we're in the category of Moses. That's not the point. Because I know I'm a Moses too. As the pastor and the leader of this church, I'm a Moses. It's my job to lead you in the direction God wants us to go. Right? Can we agree on that? And so when I use this term, being a Moses, I'm not talking about being prideful and you got to follow me. No, I'm talking about the responsibility of church leadership. And what the leadership of the church has to understand is that people are depending on us. If you're teaching a class, if you're leading young people, me as the pastor, people depend on us. People trust us to follow the Lord so that they can follow the Lord by following us. Okay? It's that simple. There has to be leadership. And that leadership has to be able to be trusted to follow God, whatever direction God leads. That's what we want, right? Lord, wherever you want us to go, we'll go. Lord, wherever you, whatever you want us to do, we'll do. Amen. You see, that's what church leadership is about. There has to be a Moses, but there's also a personal responsibility that everyone present here has. You have to ensure that your Moses is following God. There are a lot of people that are in leadership roles in the world today that, I'll be honest with you, pastors of churches who are not following God. How do you know whether your man's following God or not? Number one, you check him out via the Scripture. If he's not true to the Scripture, he's not following God. And number two, you've got to look at his fruit a little bit. You've got to decide, can I trust him? You see, the second other thing you can do as an individual is you can pray for your Moses. If it's your Bible study teacher, I want to tell you something. He needs your prayer. If it's your youth, college, whatever. If it's this pastor, the greatest thing you can do for me is to pray for me. Because what I want to do is follow God. Period. Wherever He leads, that's where I want to go. So, now let's make this very personal. I want to throw this out there also. If you want to follow God, you're going to have to spend time in prayer. You've got to have a prayer life. Matthew 7:7. What? Ask and it shall be. Seek and you shall. Knock and the door shall be. If you don't ask, seek and knock, don't expect God to lead you. You know? So, what do we want to know? This is where it gets real pointed. Okay? Let's start with college ministry. College ministry, we've talked about future building plans, right? The other elephant in the room, if you will, is our expansion/remodel of the fellowship area and what we need to do back there. Two really big projects that are in our future, okay? And I want you to understand where we are right now. We've been in, you were introduced to the college building program a couple of Sundays ago, you heard a very large dollar figure, which caused a little shock. I could tell by the look of your face. I'm not going on what people has told me and come to me. No, nobody has complained. So please do not interpret this message this way. All right? I'm telling you how we need to go, right? Or what we need to do as a church to follow God. But anyway, you could just kind of see the shock on faces. And a couple of weeks now, you've had an opportunity to get over the shock. All right? Our first natural tendency when something is introduced like that is we ask, what? How much does it cost? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because that's just the first thought that comes to mind. Let me ask you a question. Has God got enough money to do anything He wants us to do? Why do we ask that question? Why? It's because I guess it's the way we think. We say, how much does God, how much work is involved? How much time and effort am I going to have to donate? What I want you to do today, I got your attention. If I've got your attention, say amen. Amen. All right. I want you to clear your mind today of everything. Every thought of, we should jump right in and let's do this right now. Clear your mind. Every thought of, we can't do this, it's too big. It's too... No, clear your mind. And ask yourself, what do we want to do? We want to follow God. Amen. Whatever that is, we want to follow God. In the coming weeks, what I'm going to ask you to do, y'all know I'm going to, next Sunday will be my last Sunday for a little while, and going to have a little surgery, recover a few weeks, and then Lord willing, we'll be right back, okay? But I'm going to ask you during, from now until the time I get back, don't think of, we've got to do this. Don't think of, we can't do this. Ask God what He wants us to do. That is a decent request, right? That we will dedicate this time. I believe with all my heart God has a plan. I'm not real sure. I'm not sold out on anything at this point. However, I do know I'm sold out on the fact I want to know what God wants us to do, and I want to go in that direction. Right? The only way that happens is if we all seek God. Okay? Same way with the fellowship hall and all that addition and what we're going to do back there. We got to seek God. God, what do you want us to do? Because I'll tell you, that back there is going to be expensive too. Right? The only thought we can have in our mind at this point is to dedicate time asking God, show me. Make it clear. Lord, I want to know. I need to hear from you. Show me what you want us to do. You see, that's what I'm praying for at this point. It all sounds real good when we talk about buildings and things like that. I'm praying for God to make it clear. Okay? Will you join me in that prayer? Amen? All right. First thing we've got to do, we've got to hear from God. Number two, we've got to see what God wants us to do. All right? Here we go. And in these verses, we're told that we read that they would send out spies to spy out the land. Okay? Their mission was to see the land which God was going to give. I want you to read that with me, okay? Verse 2, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan. I want to read it one more time. Send out for yourself men so they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give the sons of Israel. God did not send them to go in and make a decision whether they could or whether they could not. Amen? It was not their job to go in and say, oh, this would be a piece of cake, let's do it. It wasn't their job to go in and say, oh, we can't do this. This is not why God sent them in. You know why? That God sent them to spy out the land. The point was to inspire them. Not discourage, but to inspire. God was showing them what He was about to give them. The idea is that they would go in and say, wow! This is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is great. This is a land that is beautiful. This is great. And God's going to give us this great land. That was why God sent them in. So that they could go see it. Then they could come back and tell everybody else, oh man, I can't wait for you to see this. This is awesome. God has big things in store for us. That's why He sent them. Now here's the application. You cannot have a desire and or passion for God's work if you have not seen God's work. Okay? Now, I say that because at this point, most of the church have not been exposed to the college ministry since we moved over to the Tech campus. Most of the church has, we've not been there, we've not seen what's going on over there. And I'm not fussing at you, okay? I'm not. But I am going to tell you, you need to see. You need to see what's going on over there. You need to see if Kelly's out of control or not. Not really. You need to see the ministry. Right? So, I'm going to ask you to do something else in the coming weeks. I'm going to ask you to talk to Brother Kelly. There are two times right now of big ministries. There's Wednesday nights. There are Mondays. Lunch that they've been doing or that they're going to start back up. Ask Brother Kelly when would be an appropriate time for you to come and help in that ministry on a particular day. I'm not saying go over there and just say, don't do anything. Come help for that particular period of time and see what's going on. You see? And the reason I ask you to go to Kelly and schedule a time is we don't need 30 adults over there on any given day because then we wouldn't have room for the college students. Okay? We need to schedule that. But you need to see what's going on. And it really doesn't matter if it's college ministry or some other ministry. You need to be exposed to it before you have a passion for it. That's why God sent those guys into the land of Canaan beforehand. To give them a passion so they could see what God was giving. So, in the coming weeks, I'm asking you, while I'm out, I come back to that, don't we? Schedule a time to go see that ministry and help with that ministry. Brother Kelly, would you stand up? Here's your college guy. If you didn't know him, this is our college leader. Go talk to him. Tell him you want to come and help one day. All right? Amen? Can we do that? Thank you, Brother Kelly. Second thing I want you to do. Sometimes we just look over things because we get used to it. I'm going to ask you in the coming weeks while you're praying about both of these projects, I'm going to ask you to look. Look around in the back. Look around at the fellowship hall. Look around, see what you think you need. Or not what you need, but look around and see what's needed. And see opportunity of what we can do and might do back there. Okay? Now, you got two big jobs in the coming weeks. Go see the college students. Look around back there. And the reason is, you need to see. But as you see, I want you to remember something. This is not a democracy. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. The spies have gone into the land. They come back and they give their report. Verse 25 says, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told them and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, you know what that Hebrew word is for nevertheless? But. So let's just say, the land does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak and Amalek and is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take the possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong. So they gave out the sons of Israel, or they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone is spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom they saw in it are men of great size. I'm sorry, I shorted one verse. Let's look at the spies' report. The land flows with milk and honey. Sounds good, right? And when they said, look at the fruit, you got to understand, these guys come in, they're carrying one cluster of grapes, and they had to put that on a pole and carry it between two men because it's so big. Now, that's some grapes, right? And they come in and say, it truly is a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the grapes, this is great. But the cities are fortified and very large. The people in the land are strong. There are giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Verse 31, they were very direct. They said, we are not able to go up against the people. They spied out the land. They came back and gave their report. And they came back and gave their opinion. And you know what? God wasn't looking for their opinion. That's why I say this is not a democracy. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm trying to get us in the position where we're truly seeking God. You see, we think we should have a vote in everything and we should have a say in everything and give our opinions. God doesn't need your opinion. He doesn't need my opinion. He doesn't need my approval. He doesn't need to know what I think should be done, and he doesn't need my advice on how it should get done. You know what God does expect? He expects our obedience. Amen? And by obedience, I mean that we trust him enough to do what he leads us to do. That's obedience. And so, I was thinking about this, and I go back to the time when I surrendered to ministry. And I've told you before, at the beginning, I said, okay, Lord, I'll preach, but I won't pastor churches. And you're not surrendered when you try to put conditions on the Lord, right? So I tried that a little while. It didn't work. I got to preach, but the burden was still there. And finally I said, okay, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'll preach, I'll pastor, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the burden was lifted. And you know what my dad said? My dad was a good man. He was a Christian man. I loved him. But my dad said, son, you can't do that. You've got a good job. You've got to feed your children. You've got to take care of your wife. You can't do that. My friends said, Doug, you have lost your mind. You have a really good job. You have a really good retirement. They have a health plan for you, health insurance. Oh, it's all good. You have lost your mind. I mean, literally, that's what they said. Other friends, but I remember one Sunday school teacher I love so dearly. You know what he said? He said, Doug, you'll starve to death.
And I want to gather them all up and say, thank y'all for your great encouragement. You know, everybody said, no, you can't, you shouldn't. But I knew what God laid on my heart. I had clear, concise direction, and I knew what I had to do. And you know, the funny thing about it is, I'm here today. I have never been hungry. My bills have been paid. My marriage is much better now than it was back then. And God has blessed me. I have experienced blessings that will follow me throughout eternity. Because I answered God's call. And I quit putting conditions on God. And I said, God, wherever you want me to go. Now, I don't say that to blow my own trumpet. I don't. I say that to relate to you experience. If you're going to follow God, you've got to be willing to give up your opinion. You've got to be willing to give up your likes and I want twos and I don't want twos and all that logic stuff. You've got to be willing to say, all right, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, that's the only way you can do it. Because that's the only way to work. That's the only way God's the master. You know, I look at Moses. You remember what happened when Moses was called? Remember, I want you to go lead my people, Moses. Oh, no, Lord, not me. No, Lord, not me. Lord, I can't talk. I'll talk for you. Lord, I can't do it. I'll give you Aaron. Lord, I can't do it. Please, Lord, just send somebody else. I don't want to be the somebody else. I want to be the man. I want to be the church that has been sent, directed, and clearly guided by God so that we all know where and what, where we're going, and how we're getting there, right? That's my desire for this church. I have no regrets of following God. Zero. None. And I know this church is the same. But I do know, also know, that if we're going to follow God, we're going to have to get rid of the I want to's and I don't want to and I like and I don't like. And purely open ourselves to say, God, whatever you want us to do. Makes sense? It's not a democracy. God decides the where and the what. All right? What's at stake? In closing. What's at stake? Well, we know how it goes. We read there and they come back and we can't do this and we're not going to do this. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, we find the result. Because they would refuse to follow God. 14:22 says, surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. What happened? They never saw the promise of God because they were not willing to follow God. They forfeited the blessing of a lifetime. As a matter of fact, we read on in Numbers 14, verse 32, of what happened to those people that refused. What happened to those people that said, no, God, I'm not going to do this. Makes no sense. It's not logical. Lord, you're just asking too much. Numbers 14, 32 says, but as for you, your corpses shall fall in the wilderness. And your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they shall suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days for every day shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years. You shall know my opposition. So what's going to happen to them because they didn't follow God? God's going to turn them. And he's going to send them in the wilderness for 40 years. And none of that generation, none, zero, zilch, nada, not a single one of that generation will see the blessed promises of God. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go out in the wilderness and wait to die. I don't know about you, but that stirs me. You see, God will not make anyone do anything. But a generation that will not follow God is a generation that will not see the works of God. You know? That generation who said, no, we're not going into the promised land, that generation will never cross the river. That generation will never see the promised land. They'll never experience the victory of Jericho. They'll never experience the land flowing with milk and honey. Instead, they're going to go wander in the wilderness for 40 years waiting to die. But when you do not follow God, that's what happens. How many churches, let's be very honest, how many churches today that do you know of that are dying? There's one of two reasons that they're dying. Number one, they've departed and not been faithful to the Word of God. Okay? That'll kill a church really quickly. Or number two, they hadn't followed the direction of God. You know, I know of churches that have been the same way for years, and all that's left is a generation that has just a few of the older people that decided long ago they didn't want any more. They didn't want to do any more. They were comfortable where they are. And the ultimate effect is that the young folks left and the old folks stayed around and they're waiting to die. Now that's not a reflection on young, old, or anybody else. That is a prescription for the death of a church when God's people tell God no. That's not victory. I know that. And I please hope you'll understand that I'm not here today trying to thrash people. I don't know what we should do at this point. I don't have direction. Not clear direction. I know we do something, but I'm not clear at this point. But what I know also is that I've got to be willing. I've got to be willing to do what God leads. I've got to be willing to take chances that other churches are not willing to take. I've got to be open. Lord, whatever you say, yes, no, in between, I've got to be willing. And the same goes for you. We've got to be willing. And it's not just a college ministry building, like I say. It's a fellowship building that likely as not we'll be winding up doing both of them at the same time. It's a big deal. And I do not preach this message to scold anyone because no one has done anything. I preach this message to get you ready to follow God. All right? You see, for us today, what we've got to understand is not only did it affect that generation that refused to go into the promised land, it affected their children. And the decisions that you and I make today will not just affect us. You look around, it'll affect the children, generations to come. Because our disobedience will keep them from following the Lord. So what are we supposed to do? John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus never said, my sheep decide where they want to go. and I follow them. He never said, my sheep has to weigh all the options and decide what they want to do, and I let them go wherever they will. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, this is the challenge, all right? I've asked you to do a couple of things. Find out about the college ministry. Look in the back and be looking for opportunities there. We've got a group that are working. But most of all, the purpose of this message to this church is to get us in the mindset of what I need to do right now is seek the Lord. Lay my opinions and my desires aside and just seek God. That's what this period's going to be for the next few weeks. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, you need a guide. You need a life guide. And so I'm going to ask you, why go through life without a direction and without meaning? When Jesus said, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friends, don't leave here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. For those that are saved, you may be here today and you've been telling God, no. No, Lord, I won't surrender to preach. No, Lord, I won't teach that class. No, Lord, I won't do. And you can fill in the blank. It's time to put your desires aside and say, yes, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the privilege of looking into your word. And Father, I stand in awe of the importance of where we are as a church. Lord, it's not about buildings. It's about ministries and following you. And so, Lord, I pray that in the coming weeks that we will humbly seek you and that, Lord, you will make your direction very, very, very clear that we may follow you and see your mighty hand at work. And now, Lord, I know it starts with a personal commitment. And so, Lord, I want to commit to you today. Keep me mindful to seek you every day. Keep me mindful to be open to your leading in whatever direction you lead. Keep me mindful, Lord, that I'm here to be obedient and to trust you. So, Lord, I pray the same for the entire church. Make your will and your desire for this church very, very clear that we may follow you.